Hey everybody, we thought we were done doing this.
Yeah.
But here we are again, back on video for you. Seemed to have a little bit of plumbing issues at our church, Christian Outreach Center. And so we're here from our home doing a video for you guys on this Sunday, February 14th. It's one of our, in our liturgical church, High Church, it's one of our it's one of our holidays. Yep.
Otherwise known as Valentine's Day.
Yes. So we thought instead of a stuffy, dry, boring, sit through this video kind of a message again, we'd do something a little more fun. And for Valentine's Day, we thought we'd bring to you... What are we bringing to you?
We're bringing to you just a few ideas that we have learned in life about relationships and honestly what we're currently learning because we're very much in process.
Notice we said things that we've learned, not things that we're practicing well.
Yeah, that's true.
But these are things that we've learned, and this is not the exhaustive list.
No.
Oh my gosh. So we've been married just about 22 years now, and if you're just about to push the stop button because you're like, wait, I'm not married, I'm not planning on getting married or whatever, we feel like we've kind of uncovered some things that really the Bible teaches us about relationships in general. So we feel like most of these are going to really, really work really well in all of our relationships. Father-son relationships, roommate. Anyone ever had a fight with a roommate before, right?
Co-workers.
Family, cousins, brothers and sisters. So church members, right?
Absolutely.
So this is just kind of things we've learned about relationships in general. It happens to be particularly for us in a husband and wife context because that's who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And but otherwise, hope we can... share some things that we've gleaned from all the mistakes that we've made over the years. And
we've made mistakes?
Well, a couple.
Oh, a few.
Mostly me. That's all right.
We're learning.
So these are in... the order that these are in is the order that they got written down. So no particular order.
No.
And not in order of importance, but let's just do some rapid fire here.
All right, here we go. So, you know, one of the first things that we learned, I don't know about you, but we have expectations.
Oh my.
You might even like think that you don't have expectations. Like, mm-hmm. Oh no, I don't. But there is a story that we have all written in our head of mm-hmm. what something is going to look like. And whether we will profess or agree to that or not, there is one that's there.
Mm-hmm.
And so guess what happens when that expectation doesn't quite go like what we have in our mind?
Mm. We have reactions to that.
We have reactions.
Now, depending on if you're, you know, what personality test that you like to take, the one that I'm most familiar with is the big names, you know, the phlegmatic and melancholy or whatever, sanguine. So if you're sanguine, you're probably going to make a big show and stomp and pout and tell everybody on Facebook why you're so disappointed because you're kind of an extrovert.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a melancholy like me, you know, you might get a little angry and kind of disappear a little bit. Phlegmatic, you know, you're going to be...
We're going to stuff it.
It's stuff it way inside.
It's just not worth really having the reaction.
But regardless of whatever your reaction is, it's gonna you're going to have some kind of... a relationship impairing mm-hmm. reaction to that. And so we've got to deal with those reactions. And that really starts with dealing with our expectations.
It really yeah. does. So I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure that I'm not perfect. Are you perfect?
Only in my mind. And we see how far that gets us.
And so, you know, I love scripture. And so I really wanted to read some. It says, Ecclesiastes 7:20, "Surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins." Right? Mm. And so I'm like, I sin. I am not perfect. I have reactions. Mm-hmm. I have thoughts. Romans 3:10, "As it is written, none is righteous, not one." Of course, we only know there is one that was perfect, and mm-hmm. that was...
Jesus.
Thank you.
Yes.
Good answer.
Yes. Yes.
And so, just as much as we might have expectations mm-hmm. for our mate or those that are close to us, mm-hmm. We also have to realize that they're not perfect, and they never will be perfect,
right.
And we're not perfect.
Right.
And so that's why I love this verse, 1 Peter 4:8. "Above all, love one another deeply, for love covers a multitude of sins."
That's so good. That's so good. And really even, like, those are kind of how to put things into practice, kind of when we're in the middle of that. Maybe kind of on the front side of that as well, we could even manage our expectations a little bit and just kind of realize that as much as we want to plan and make things perfect, and even as much as you said earlier, we don't, I don't think I have expectations, you know, it's just whatever. Well, then explain to me why you're pouting around. Like, I think it catches us off guard that we,
yes.
And I think that was true for us when we began our marriage. I think you maybe
had some pretty interesting expectations.
That you didn't know that you had.
That I didn't know that I had until I was feeling very frustrated, mm-hmm. very unloved, disappointed, mm-hmm. you know, just all of the feelings.
Wait, is this in our relationship?
This was ours.
True story.
And so, you know, I didn't realize that they were there. But, you know, from a little kid, guess what I heard? I heard a Cinderella story. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times those start to develop maybe some expectations of what you're going to have. Movies, social media now, there's so many places that we can get expectations from. Mm-hmm. And so I would ask us to be careful about that. Now, should we not expect anything? Should we just expect our husbands to be a slob and never do anything? And no, absolutely not. That isn't what we're saying. But we can walk around with these completely unrealistic expectations. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then when they're not meeting them, we're upset and we're throwing fits, mm-hmm. and we're just mad and we're not loved and this and mm-hmm. that. And it's not a very fun place to be.
Be careful with the story that we're creating in our minds of what our future is going to look like. And then throwing some poor innocent person under the bus that is only just trying to do their best.
Yes.
That might be your roommate. That might be your poor mom or dad or son or daughter or your brother or sister and, you know, coworker.
So we've learned a word called grace.
Grace. We say that in our house a lot.
Have some grace.
Sometimes it's have some grace. But it's... Gosh, we need
some grace.
Yeah, and so that's kind of maybe not always in the right context theologically, mm-hmm. but for our family it means gosh, cut people some slack. Yeah. All right, let's just widen our berth of.
And it doesn't mean that you don't talk about issues.
Absolutely,
or talk about your disappointments, right. or mm-hmm. unmet expectations. That's mm-hmm. not what we're talking about either. But how you do that, you know, is really important, and we don't have time to get into all of that, so you can ask us at some time.
Move on to the next one.
So the second one is this. Are you ready? Forgive often and easily.
Ooh.
Leave the past in the past. Now, there's this quote from Ruth Bell Graham, who I think she probably has learned a few things in her life. A happy marriage is the union of two good forgivers.
Mm. Two good forgivers.
Two good forgivers. We're going to have offenses.
It seems like Jesus said, offenses will come.
Yes.
And he didn't add this in there, but if you're married, they'll come more often.
No.
No, he didn't say that. But it's true. Like, if you're looking for something to be offended with, buckle up, buttercup.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to find something.
We're going to find something. And even if you have the best of heart and intentions, you're going to need to forgive.
You know, I honestly really love that in the Lord's Prayer, okay? Mm. This is the Lord's Prayer. He is teaching us
how
to pray. And I think we can probably grasp a few things from that prayer going, these are things we're probably going to face on a regular basis. These aren't like the extracurriculars that are way out there. This is daily stuff. And in that prayer is, forgive us.
Mm.
Our trespasses or debts as we forgive others.
Wow.
Who do we forgive?
We ask for forgiveness
for us
first. Like Jesus is saying, when you come to the Father, when you come to this holy moment of approaching the throne of God, when you're having this heart of intercession, that you're asking for forgiveness for me.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you feel like all of this angst and all of this frustration is all your fault.
Well, it's all your fault.
Right. So if it's 100% your fault and it's 100% my fault, whose fault is it? It doesn't really matter because the prayer is forgive me first. And I mm-hmm. think that's a great way to approach our relationships. Forgive me for like, but even if you can only come up with the scenario that it's a 1,000th of 1%, own up to your 1,000th of 1%.
Exactly.
And probably you're probably not accurate in your assessment.
I'm pretty sure that in a marriage, guess what? There's two sinners.
Yeah, two sinners. I like that.
There's two sinners saved by grace,
mm-hmm.
and we both need that forgiveness.
Yeah.
And so walking easily ready to forgive. And then, guys, here's honestly the tough part. You need to leave it there.
Right.
You got to leave it in the past. Mm-hmm. How much fun is it to have a new argument and then hear the last 10, 20 years of arguments all at the same time?
Guys, that's death.
It is death. That's death.
If you're doing that, stop.
Yep.
Stop. There's plenty of new stuff to argue about. Don't just really just let go of that garbage. Stop it. Like, you're not there anymore. Move on.
Yep. It's not going to produce fruit that is godly or help your relationship move forward.
We hang on to that stuff because we feel like we've been wronged. And so I've got the right to hang on to this. And so I'm going to hang on to this and not let go until I manipulate the kind of reaction that I want out of you. And guess what? That's not what you want. You want free interaction of love and free will. And if you a manipulated response is just as good as no response. It's actually worse.
And it's kind of really interesting that the Bible also says that love holds no record of wrongs.
True.
So
our account ledger needs to be wiped clean.
It needs to be wiped clean and leave those things out where they need to be, which is in the past.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
What's next on the list?
So the next one is something that we are in the process of learning and have learned and is really kind of a heartbeat for us, which is to walk humbly.
Oh my.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Guess what? Other people have value.
Mm. It is so true. I don't know if you're going to read the scripture or not, but just the verse about consider others better than yourself, you know, and that's not demeaning your value or worth. It's holding others in esteem. It's lifting others up in your estimation of them, right? Like we go to Antiques Roadshow. Well, we don't, but you know, like people do because they want to get an estimation. And can you esteem the value of this? Can you estimate it? What would this be worth? And so in our minds, humility will cause us to esteem people, to elevate them. Not depreciating us like, oh, I'm just worthless. Not at all. I'm made in God's image. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to esteem you as valued more. Yeah, we struggle with that a lot. See, it's who's those guys? Not wrong, just different. The blue hose and pink hose guys.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. But they talk about
love
how...
and respect.
Love and respect. Yep, they talk about how... that we're different people and we think differently and we have different ideas and it feels wrong, but it's not wrong. It's just different. It's like you see the world this way, I see the world this way. And humility is just the oil that makes the gears go. It's kind of the root of giving grace. I mean,
it is. And forgiveness as well. It's really tied.
Right.
It's the ribbon really tying into all of them. A relationship without humility is probably very one-sided and probably not really pleasurable to be in.
True story.
Here is the verse that he read, but here's a little bit more of it. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. And have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of men. And Jesus is our example. And part of that is he emptied himself. You know, honestly, walking in a relationship with someone often requires you to empty yourself.
Right.
To empty maybe some of the desires, some of the things that you're very passionate about, which it doesn't mean that at some point you won't hit those. But at times we need to and are called to empty ourselves for one another, to allow that person to reach after some of their desires and to honor them in that way.
Right. We've talked a lot lately, just Marnie and I and Stephen and I, just about marriage really kind of really being the proving grounds of creating holiness in our lives. It's a great tool for sanctification. And if those are weird big words, it's a great tool to kill you.
Right? It is.
Not the physical you, but the flesh, the selfish side of you, what the Bible calls, you know, the old man, the old nature, the flesh. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of different words that it uses. But it's the fallen part of us that wants to serve me. humility wants to serve you and esteem you and value mm-hmm. you. And without some humility, every relationship is going to suffer.
It is. And, you know, here's a really practical verse that I loved. When I read it, I wasn't really sure that I was going to stick it in this section. But as I thought about it, I'm like, no, it really makes sense for here. My brothers and sisters, this is from James 1, 19-20. Take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Now, why would I stick that in humility? Because someone who is quick to listen mm-hmm. is finding value mm-hmm. in the other person.
Yeah.
And they are locking in and they're saying, what you have to say, I am esteeming you. I am going to choose not to, you know, put out everything that is on my mind in this moment. I am going to instead choose to listen. Mm-hmm. I'm going to find value in what mm-hmm. you have to say. Even if I don't agree with mm-hmm. it,
right.
I'm going to still take the moment mm-hmm. to put you before myself. I'm not going to sit and think of all the answers and responses. I'm going to mm-hmm. listen.
Right. And we could do an entire one on that. But it's so good. Some of you guys, you've been in 30, 40 years of relationships. You're still trying to win a fight. Mm-hmm. Come on. That's, who cares? Like, right? Like, that's not the goal. Like, we've got to consider the value of the other person. And all of a sudden, things can't fall into their supernatural place when we're not walking in humility.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, ready to jump into the next one?
I was going
to
say, what's next?
Okay, awesome. So the next one that we have is definitely one that I feel like we're just on the precipice of really learning and understanding how important it is. And that is to pray together.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Hello, mm-hmm. of course. Wouldn't that be a good idea? Yeah,
it's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. For most of us, it stays a great idea. Yeah.
Sometimes.
Hey, I'll pray for you, buddy.
Yeah.
We'll be praying. The sending prayers and love, right?
Of joining hands and going, we're praying together. And we're going to have a unified heart about what we're praying about.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I had an opportunity to hear a pastor and his wife speak. And I just, one of the questions that came up was, what kind of advice would you give us? You've been married and in ministry all these years. What would you tell someone? And that was what they told them. Mm-hmm. They said, you know, we were going through a really hard time in our family. This was new to them. And of course they'd been in ministry for how many years? And we started the practice of praying together every night, joining hands, unifying hearts, and praying about it. And it had become one of the most treasured and one of the most powerful things in their life. And I heard that, and it's something that we've really consciously decided that we are going to make a part of our lives. Have we gotten it down just right yet? Not so much. But are we getting better? Mm-hmm. Yes. And are we taking more opportunities to stop what we're doing if we're concerned or worried or whatever and just saying, let's pray. Mm-hmm. Let's pray.
I feel like we've stumbled on maybe one of the, for some of you that just love teaching and love the nuggets of scripture and kind of the revelation of God, probably the deepest kind of download from heaven, kind of the biggest revelation, theological revelation on prayer. I'm going to unload it for you right now on relational prayer. Is this. Just do it.
Do it.
Do it. Like that is the nugget mm-hmm. for success in prayer. Everything else, secondary. Like, it's not going to, if you don't just do it. Just stop now. The time is like right now. Like,
does it feel awkward?
Absolutely.
It does. We pray all the time. We pray mm-hmm. in front of people. Mm-hmm. We pray with other mm-hmm. people. Why would this be so awkward to sit and pray with your mate or, you know, someone that you're close to? Mm-hmm. I don't understand. I don't really have the answer for it, but I believe the treasure that is in it is worth it.
It's worth it.
And I just wanted to share this scripture. This is from Philippians. Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. And I think there's a real key in there. Obviously, there's the scriptures that talk about where two or more are gathered, there I am also. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm not going to do that one, but you know, if one puts so many to flight, then mm-hmm. two put this many to flight. Mm-hmm. Guys, there's power in union.
Yep.
There is power in mm-hmm. agreement, and there's power in unity. Mm-hmm. And I think the closeness and intimacy that that actually produces in your relationship mm-hmm. too, being of one mind, right. one Absolutely. Heart. So here we are. This is actually one of my favorites.
Yeah, do you wanna this is a cool one.
Read it?
No, you should
I'm
be the one.
Get, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, cheer one another on. Mm-hmm. Okay. Back in my days, I was a cheerleader. Mm-hmm. I love cheering. Like telling people, you can do it. Mm-hmm. Come on, let's go. Mm-hmm. Well, Thessalonians says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And it is really a delight to be able to cheer mm-hmm. you on.
And you are my biggest cheerleader.
I am. For sure. I love to cheer mm-hmm. him on. I love to tell him, kind of in some ways, who he is mm-hmm. and who I see that he can mm-hmm. be. Is he all those things yet? Maybe not quite yet, but is he moving towards it? Mm-hmm. And what kind of ladies, I'm just going to speak to you maybe just in this moment. Do you think that you're going to have a better success rate of seeing things in your husband by nagging and telling everything that's wrong with him? Or by taking those things and saying what you see in him that is good mm-hmm. and the things that you know he can do and cheering him on in those things. Mm. Not that we don't have conversations, not saying that, but I want to be known as my husband's greatest cheerleader. I want him to know that I believe in him and that even in moments where I'm maybe like, this could be interesting, I'm still going to be there. I'm going to be clapping my hands. I'm going to be praying for him. I'm going to be telling him that he is created for this and really excited to see what God's going to do in his life and through his life. And I reap the benefits of
that. It's true. Yep. Yep. There is nothing more life-giving than a thriving, mutual, growing relationship mm-hmm. where both of you are chasing after God and dealing with weak areas and growing in strengths. I mean, it's a wild ride sometimes, and it's just energizing and life-giving and draining and kills you at times. But life-giving is just the word that I like. It just is, and you just. You lay down some nights and you're just like, wow, okay, made it through that one, or that was so incredible. But the cheer of bringing one another to their next victory is mm-hmm. just, it's what we signed up for. And about 8 minutes into your marriage is what you forget.
mm-hmm. And honestly, just remembering that I'm not competing with you attention or for like we're together mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. by me cheering you on, mm-hmm.
It's you the cheering best me. It's only making, yeah, right. I love what you said. You reap the benefits. We both like, why would you not want to cheer the other person on again? So you can be right and you can point out a fault or whatever. Like, come on, go be a judge of a competition. If you want to do that, like, that's not what you're in this for.
Nope.
In relationships, like in the church, man, we're just called to encourage one another daily. Like that's what we're for. That's oxygen for our lungs. And it's the breath of life in us. So.
Which really just launches us into the next one, which is you're a team. Mm-hmm. Now, I know you're going, okay, I'm not married, I'm single, but guess what? You have a team. Mm-hmm. You've got the body of Christ,
yep,
right?
Absolutely.
You have people that are around you. And so do things together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, dream together. Talk about God things mm-hmm. together. Hurt mm-hmm. together.
Yep.
Grieve
yep.
together.
Yep.
Serve
yes.
together.
Please.
Do these things together. You know, God said, it is not good for man to be alone, right? Mm-hmm. God said it, not me, mm-hmm. okay? And so some of us, you know, some are introverts and they think maybe the world would be better if it was just them and no one else around. But there are other people in the world, and God knew that even introverts should probably have some people around them.
Right.
And
they turn into a mess by themselves. They get energized, but they're just a mess.
You just have a mess of Cheetos around them.
Exactly.
Ecclesiastes says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, and a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. We need each other.
We do. Desperately.
I need you. Ultimately, my fulfillment is from God. Not denying that at all. But I need you in my life. I need you to help me at times just with physical strength. I need you at times to maybe point out a thing or two that, you know, honey, maybe you're not looking at this right. Mm-hmm. So we need one another.
That's true.
And it's good to live life together.
It takes humility to recognize that, though.
It does take humility.
Yeah.
It definitely does.
We're on our last one?
We're on our very last one. And I really just kind of feel like this last section of scripture is just, it's the explanation point to it all.
Better go fast.
You can't love each other the way it is needed.
Mm-hmm. We need
it's
Jesus.
It's impossible. Mm-hmm.
You need the power of the Holy Spirit. I think my battery is about to die. And we love you guys. And this has been fast and hopefully fun and not too boring for you. And we can't wait till we see you all again.
All right. Thanks.